also might be listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined today by Colin Drew. And today on the show, we are going to be doing a live Underdog Fantasy Draft Best Ball Championship show with you. For those of you guys who don't know, Underdog Fantasy is a new best ball app. You can download that on your Android or your iOS. It is a $1 million guaranteed tournament, $200,000 to first place. It is half point PPR. You have 18 roster spots. You generally want to draft 2 quarterbacks, 6 running backs, 7 or 8 wide receivers, and 2 or 3 tight ends. And we are going to be drafting this team live on air. Colin, are we pumped?
Yeah, we're pumped. Not as pumped as we would have been if we got the first pick, but we got the turn. We've got the 12th overall pick in this draft. And we'll be competing against that good friend, Amixta, from the 5 spot. So it should be a fun draft.
Well, we're probably not going to win this one. The math that has been done on win rates essentially says that you really want to get the first pick, right? Having the first pick since draft best ball championships were originated, right, which, you know, is not going back a decade or anything, but the years that we have had the best ball championships, we've seen the amazing CMC season, we've seen crazy Ezekiel Elliott seasons, and of course Saquon Barkley's amazing rookie year as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the biggest things for us in the first round, you know, running backs are flying off the board early in drafts across the board. I think the ADPs have shot up a bunch there, and you can make a case to go with like a robust RB where you kind of start RB and then just build out wide receiver depth later, or you can try to go the zero RB route. So we're going to have to make that decision coming up here. Per our projections, the Sports Grid Fantasy projections, half PPR, Michael Thomas is still on the board, Travis Kelce, Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, Tyreek Hill. So we potentially could try to set up like a Chiefs stack if Kelce and Hill are both there. Or we could play, the projections and go with like a top.
So I gotta say, I really hate leaving my first 2 picks without a running back, which is not something that I would say in a weekly management format, you know, like when we're drafting in the main event or whatever. But even if it's Derrick Henry, it's half point PPR, those guys are a little bit more palatable anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty tough right now. It's like Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Austin Eckler, and Josh Jacobs are the guys who are kind of left there. So definitely not the best spot to go running back. I generally lean that way as well. But I think for this one, I know we can talk a little bit about stacking strategy, but it looks like we have a pretty unique opportunity to grab both Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, which could potentially set us up with like a Mahomes stack if we're able to get him coming back in the 3rd round, which I think is definitely something a lot of people aren't going to be able to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the issue with starting Kelce Hill is that if you don't get Mahomes, you're like basically chunking this team in the discard pile, right? Like you're just like, well, that team probably is not winning. So you're really leaving yourself open to your draft mates being kind to you. And I like this better from like the 9 or the 10 where you can reach a little bit from Mahomes as opposed to, you know, the turn where you're the last pick of the 3rd round.
Yeah. I think that's fair. And there's one of the things as I was getting back into this season, there's definitely a lot of errors that you can make as you're going through the process, whether or not it's trying to stack and not realizing you're not going to get the QB, or, you know, overlapping bye weeks on guys. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. I think probably on the turn, like generally I would say you do probably want to get Kelce or Kittle there and just lock that up and take advantage of the one nice thing about picking on the turn. And then, you know, realistically, you know, I don't have a preference between Tyreek Hill or Nick Chubb. I think that, you know, the chances of them ending up on the tournament winning team are pretty equivalent.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Chubb especially is a pretty interesting one because you're worried a little bit about the role that Kareem Hunt had there, but it's almost like the inverse of like the zero RB appeal. Like Chubb's a good value anyways, and then if anything happens to Hunt,
and then he has this massive contingent value. Yeah, Hunt, I mean, Hunt gets traded, Hunt gets suspended, anything, we're like, oh well, Chubb is the, you know, 4th best running back in fantasy or whatever.
So with this team as the, you know, as we eventually will approach the 3rd round pick, I think the hope would be we get Mahomes there, but if not, I think we're hoping that there's still like a decent RB value left there, whether that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, James Conner, maybe even like reaching on someone like Todd Gurley. So those are some of the guys that I'm thinking about right now. I have no doubt that there's going to be a really good wide question of if we get RB.
Yeah, I mean, that's again, the other thing about picking on the turn is, you know, when you go to 3-4, you can take DJ Moore, Smith-Schuster, AJ Brown, like it just any like so many guys you like are there at the 3-4 turn.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think especially kind of earlier in the drafting season, I think the ADPs on wide receivers are maybe a little bit less efficient. A lot of people still are drafting off of the ADPs or the default rankings. Uploaded Sports Grid fantasy football rankings. So I feel like you're always kind of finding value in like the, you know, fifth through eighth rounds too, whether it's like Will Fuller's of the world or, you know, upside wide receiver.
Yeah. And, you know, there is the added benefit in, obviously, in the best ball format where, one, we're going to end up loading up on wide receivers, right? Like, we are going to still be taking wide receivers in the 16th, 17th, and 18th round, and we don't have the pressure of optimizing them, right? Like, we don't have to decide to start Will Fuller. We don't have to decide to start Mecole Hardman, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that. We're now five picks away, so we've got Adam Thielen on the board, DJ Moore, Mark Andrews, but we wouldn't go with two tight ends this early. You got AJ Brown, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, Todd Gurley, and Mahomes is still on the board with five picks left. So a little bit of a sweat for us here.
Colin and I are drafting an underdog best ball championship team live on the air right now. We started from the 12-13 turn with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Colin, we are sweating getting Patrick Mahomes here at the 3-4 turn. How's it looking?
Yeah, we're two picks away right now. He's still on the board, but Todd Gurley went back off. He was one of the contingent plans at RB. Best available RBs are pretty dicey right now. I'd say Chris Carson is one of the guys I would consider taking here. You've got David Johnson, Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon as the other guys. But, you know, it's like you said, it kind of gets pretty thin at running back quickly, and you don't want to feel like you're reaching guys in like the fourth or fifth round. So I don't know. Hopefully Mahomes will stay here, and then we've got a choice to make as far as whether or not we go with like a Chris Carson type or a DJ Moore at the wide.
I have to say, I'm starting to get kind of into Chris Carson, just sort of being like, they just want to give him the ball. And yeah, he's got tons of competition, but a lot of his competition is not of the pass catching variety. So, you know, he could still kind of back into 40-ish receptions or so, which is meaningful, when especially because he has that goal line role.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the injury to Penny, who's not expected to be ready for the start of the season. They did add some depth. They're going to bring in some guys. They got like bodies with Carlos Hyde. But yeah, we got Mahomes and we got Chris Carson. So right now we've got a Chiefs double stack, which feels really good for upside if we make it kind of out of the group stage, because obviously the upside of the Chiefs passing game is as good as anything. And then Chris Carson. So we've got our first running back as well.
So now our
this is
sweat,
a masterclass, Davis. This is
honestly, this is a very good start, because, you know, my assumption is that many of the teams in the underdog fantasy football championship, they're like, if they are Mahomes stacks, they're going to have paid an absurd, like they're going to have drafted Mahomes in early in the third round. So that would leave their fourth round pick, you know, pretty substantially worse than Chris Carson. My guess is that there are not a ton of Tyreek, Kelce, Mahomes stacks. You know, sometimes I think that people would start with Travis Kelce and then take Patrick Mahomes. So I like this start. So really, we got to be on our game and not mess up the rest of this draft, because I really would like this team to do well. So we got to be on our games here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, you know, as you get back into these, some of the rest, like I, you know, took quarterbacks with overlapping bye weeks. There are teams where I drafted Ertz and Dallas Goedert, which is not like the worst thing in the world, given the Eagles' lack of, you know, talent at the wide receiver position, but still not, you know, then you have to for sure add a third tight end. And the quarterbacks with bye weeks too, you definitely can't be taking zeros in general with quarterbacks. And with, you know, the COVID stuff definitely adds a wrinkle to fantasy football as well, because, you know, positions that usually are safe as far as playing 16 games or, you know, safer, you know, they're definitely not as far as, you know, COVID. And we've seen some of the outbreaks with MLB. Hopefully the NFL can learn from that, but it does feel like we're going to be dealing with a lot of kind of chaos and depth.
Depth is going to be important. In some of these other best ball drafts that I've been doing, I've been opting to take three tight ends and three quarterbacks, which is, from like a win rate perspective, historically not super great, but I actually do think that that stuff is really going to come into play this year with, like, you know, the right now there's the proposed 3-week COVID IR basically. So that it's not great.
Yeah. You know, we've still got like a dozen or so picks until we're up at the tail end of the fifth round. But, you know, the tail end of the fifth round, you're basically looking at pick 60 from an ADP perspective. You get into running backs where they might have upside, but don't necessarily have a secure role, or their role is a timeshare. So some of the guys that would be up at the running back position, I'm interested in your opinions on Raheem Mostert, who just had, you know, the contract agreement with San Francisco, a little bit less risk to him. We'll probably see his ADP slide up. I don't know if it'll slide up in this draft or not. David Montgomery would be another guy that feels a little cringy drafting this early, but if somehow the Bears were to turn it around, you know that he's going to get the bulk of the goal line work. And then Mark Ingram with the Ravens offense, definitely an aging running back, not the profile player that we necessarily like to take, but the touchdown upside was definitely something that he realized last year.
Akers is a guy I like here, though there is this interesting thing with underdog ADP because it's newer and it is recently launched. It is not nearly as sharp, you know, it is not been hardened by fire the way that, you know, the FFPC ADP is, the way that drafters ADP is. So, like, you know, Kareem Hunt goes a lot later in these. You were able to get running backs, you know, kind of just like a round later. And so in a normal, you know, high stakes competitive draft, I would be thinking about like Damian Williams and Cam Akers here, but it sounds like we would be able to get David Montgomery here, who is definitely a guy that, like, at the 5-6 turn, I mean, you can just project him for 300 touches very easily.
I would say Montgomery just went the pick before us. Akers went, Hunt went. So a lot of those guys are off the board. It's kind of between Ingram and Mostert at the running back position. As we approach the clock, Devin Singletary, another guy there. Then we have Keenan Allen, Marquise Brown. Mark Ingram went the pick before us too. So
I would go Mostert here. And then I would think about a running back, because I think probably realistically we are looking at a Will Fuller, Mecole Hardman selection at the 7-8 turn. So I think we probably want to hammer one running back here at least.
So we got Raheem Mostert, Devin Singletary, J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, some of the other guys that are still on the board at running back.
So for me, I think it's
like Keenan Allen, Marquise Brown.
So no one agrees with me on this. Everyone is pushing back on me against this. I like J.K. Dobbins. I think he has insane upside this year in this offense. I am big on J.K. Dobbins relative to a lot of my other sharp fantasy buddies.
All right. So I'll slide this one in for you. This is feeling like a Matic-like build anyways, because we got the Chiefs stack. So if we're going to shoot for the 200K, I want you to feel like you're bought in. So we got Mostert in Dobbins at that turn, which means it's a running back heavy start for us. And we would probably, you know, we've already got quarterback and tight end. Obviously, we can't be picking depth at those for a while, so we're gonna have to try to stockpile on wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that now our plan is we complete the Optimus Prime Chief stack, we get Mecole Hardman, and then at wide receiver we are looking at guys like Will Fuller, we're looking at guys like Anthony Miller, Sterling Shepard, you know, sometimes Devontae Parker will last that long, though I'm not 100% sure about how that impacts or how that plays out in underdog ADP, but kind of the guys that go around this range that I would like in high stakes stuff would be Landry, Cooks, Dante Johnson, Marvin Jones, Christian Kirk. Like, I think if Fuller is gone, I think probably we go Kirk and Hardman is probably the move there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think the Fuller I've seen go as late as like eighth or ninth round, and in this draft he actually went in the fifth round, which was probably the earliest that I've seen him go.
So I would imagine that team now is going to take Deshaun Watson in the sixth or the seventh round.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same team, but Watson definitely just went off, and he usually goes kind of in this middle of the sixth range. I think that's a fair range for him. He has all the upside in the world, but I think
so.
Hardman
one
will
of the
probably
things...
be there, and yeah. I think the other guys like I'm always finding Anthony Miller available whenever I want to draft him. It's just a question of how long you can wait, because he can go in like the 10th.
Yeah. I think Hardman, and then, you know, just our favorite of the guys who are available there. One of the things that we also need to start thinking about is we have to build in the backdoor stack now because we're not taking a quarterback, you know, in the first 10 rounds because we took Mahomes. So with our wide receiver picks, we need to think about, okay, you know, is this a quarterback we can take in the 12th round? So, you know, there's going to be less equity for us taking Christian Kirk as opposed to, you know, Sterling Shepard or whoever because their quarterback is already gone. So we need to start thinking about, you know, do we like Stafford? Do we like Minshew? Do we like Daniel Jones? Because it's very important to get that double stack built in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense, especially for the tail end of this round, the way that thing's structured, you kind of have the first, you know, 12 or 13 weeks is the league play. And then it turns into more of a DFS GPP where that stack matters. I think on a week to week basis, you know, Mahomes is probably going to fill some like 75-80% of the QB weeks. And so you are looking for that stack more for like the tremendous upside game that could potentially, you know, put you into that like 200K payout.
Yeah. And because it is the backdoor stack, you know, we don't really care. Like we are looking to keep that price as low as possible. So now we are getting ready to pick here at the 7-8 turn. Colin, what's the board looking like?
We got sniped. Mecole Hardman, Brandon Cooks just went off the board. So the illustrious triple stack is in there. At the wide receiver position, which I think is a position of need for us, Deontay Johnson, Christian Kirk, Anthony Miller, Golden Tate, Big Mike Williams are kind of the top targets that we have here. You know, there is some tight end value, but I think it's too early for us to go to another tight end.
Yeah, I think we just grab Kirk and, you know, Slayton or Tate, and then we have Daniel Jones as our... Was Evan Ingram there at tight end, or is he gone? Because I would prefer to take Ingram than those guys, I think.
He's off the board. So it's Deontay Johnson, Anthony Miller, Golden Tate, Mike Williams.
Well, let's go Johnson, actually, because I like the Roethlisberger backdoor stack, and we can also take Eric Ebron as our second tight end as well.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Deontay Johnson, a guy I don't find myself drafting a ton.
Yeah, me either.
I feel like we expect Juju to have a big bounce back year, and that we're high on him relative to ADP, but I think Johnson's an interesting play. One of the other things that I like to do, and I think it works especially when the ADPs let it work, and being able to grab like two secondary players from the same offense, if you have like faith in the passing offense, but know it could be volatile week to week, and so... I think like Johnson and James Washington, as far as like a late round wide receiver target, is also pretty interesting because you could hit a home run on one of those guys. Obviously, they're both not going to hit, but if one of them's a home run, that's obviously a big win. And then if they each have decent seasons, but it's just rotating on and off, that's also a decent win for best ball.
Yeah. So the thing with Johnson is, I agree with you, he's just not a guy that I find myself drafting very often because, I mean, look where he goes around, right? He goes around Will Fuller. He goes around Jarvis Landry. He goes around Christian Kirk. He goes around Mecole Hardman. Like, all of those guys are, I mean, like, universally, I prefer all of those guys to him. Even if it's slight, that preference is still very much there.
Yeah. So our buddy Anthony Amico has got something in this draft as well. I noticed he took Kyler earlier. He's got Dalvin Cook on his roster, Chris Godwin, Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, Michael Gallup, and Mark Andrews right now. So a wide receiver heavy approach for him. He did just add Vaughn from Tampa Bay with the 8th overall pick, but wide receiver heavy start for him. How do you like that team?
Well, he's definitely sitting there tilting the fact that we just took Christian Kirk. I think he probably thought that Kirk would come back to him where he just selected Keyshawn Vaughn. We did take Kirk a little bit ahead of ADP there. And, I mean, that Kyler Murray, Christian Kirk stack, it's like the perfect symbiotic ADP because if Kyler is beating his ADP, Christian Kirk is like stone locked to have done better than wide receiver 36 or whatever. And if Christian Kirk does better than wide receiver 36, you know, Kyler is a stone lock to have beaten his ADP. So it's like, that's probably, I think, my most drafted stack. And there's another one there that fits, which is Dak and Gallup. And you can pretty much alternate those between whichever draft you're doing.
Debo Samuel just went off the board. I was interested to see where he would go just with some of the injury news around his foot, uncertainty if he'll be available to start the season. He went at 8.10, so that's definitely slipped back around.
Gross to me. My philosophy on injured players is, you know, enough guys are going to get injured in season, and that's without the threat of COVID, that like I really don't mess around with taking injured players in, especially in best ball, where an injured player, the worst thing that can happen to your roster in best ball is to have a player injured and giving you zero after zero.
Yeah, I definitely see that. especially you've seen the foot injuries be something that just always linger. So it kind of depends on obviously the type of the injury, how clear the news is, I think there.
Yeah. So let's recap the team for everyone. We are through 8 selections. Let's read out the roster.
Yeah. So we got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, drafted him in the 3rd round. Our running backs right now, Chris Carson, Raheem Mostert, J.K. Dobbins. So we're not super
very high T start at running back.
Wide receiver, we got Tyreek Hill, Christian Kirk, Deontay Johnson, and then we've got Kelsey locked down in the tight end.
So I think our plan for the next 10 picks of this draft is obviously we need to try and get a couple more high upside wide receivers to build in with that mix. Obviously, I think we want to get, you know, Tony Pollard, Boston Scott, A.J. Dillon, Darrington Evans, that group of guys, and then probably Ben Roethlisberger and Eric Ebron as our backup quarterback and backup tight end.
So we're coming up in 4 picks here. Some of the guys' top values on our board. Anthony Miller, hopefully it's stepping into a bigger role for Chicago, regardless of who plays quarterback. You've got Tariq Cohen there, Mike Gesicki. Then you've started to get like Daniel Jones, Golden Tate types, Austin Hooper's on the board there, Brashad Perriman. So some interesting picks. No
is
guys.
Is Sterling Shepard there, or is he gone? Because I would maybe just get it out of the way, right? Get the backdoor stack out of the way and go Daniel Jones, Sterling Shepard, or Golden Tate. Not that I have a huge preference between those two guys.
Yeah, Shepard is here. It still feels a little early to get a second quarterback, just given the capital we've invested already at quarterback and wide receiver.
That's true. Yeah.
So we still add Shepard though, and hope that Jones stays.
Yeah. So do we want to go? Do we want to go like Jalen Reagor and Sterling Shepard here, or does Reagor not go early in these?
I think he typically stays on the board a little bit longer. I'm actually going to go with Anthony Miller, which is the top guy that I have in our projections.
Yeah, I like him.
It's not, you don't feel great about it, right? Drafting into Chicago, but that's the bad offense is already kind of priced in there. So I think you're getting a guy that should be a clear wide receiver too for them last year. And there's not really any increase. The targets.
So we just went Miller Shepard there.
Yeah.
Okay. So plenty of ways to build in that backdoor snack now. Even if we get absolutely robbed, we could take Trubisky in the 18th if it really does come to that. Hopefully, it doesn't come to that. We have built out our wide receiver room a little bit more now, so we don't have to feel super panicky there. And there's a good group of running backs left for us, obviously, to select from at the it's the 11-12 turn now. So theoretically, 2 of Pollard, Edmonds, Evans, Boston Scott, just that group of high upside, continued value running backs should be there for us as well in those picks.
Shockingly, Pollard is already off the board.
It only takes one, right? It only takes one guy to be like, look, I'm taking Tony Pollard in the 9th round. And that's where his ADP is going to settle in August anyways. It's just right now you can get him a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. The picks here, if you were looking for just like the guys that are still on the board, if you're looking for just production, I think you've got Tariq Cohen there who feels like a floor play, but not a guy that's ever going to step into some massive ceiling. Alexander Mattison would be the guy that I would pray somehow falls because he does feel like the type that could step into a massive ceiling if it shakes out the right way.
So Mattison for me was not in that group of super high-end handcuffs because he was being priced out of that group earlier on in the offseason after the reports that Dalvin Cook may or may not be holding out. But now that his price is falling back with Edmonds and Evans and those guys, I think he is now in that group again.
Yeah. Yeah, I would expect it to continue to slip at least a little bit just because Cook acted this week, which, you know, once you had the concrete news there, it'll kind of shake off the speculation that was hurting things before. And Cook is obviously being drafted as like a top 5 back, so people are comfortable with that pick.
Well, I mean, what's interesting is Cook really never fell further than, like, I never did a draft where I saw Cook go outside of the 1st round, even when Mattison was being drafted crazy early.
Yeah. What is your stance on guys like Tariq Cohen and James White if you're getting them pretty late? You're kind of guys that have been producing week to week, but they're never going to have like a monster ceiling. Are you typically fine with that and you're happy taking some production, or are you trying to swing for like a home run?
So I like those dudes. I like those guys way better in weekly management zero RB teams, where like sometimes you just really need those 9 points. Cohen, I'm cool with in this format because he does offer spiked week potential in a way that James White won't. They actually do target him a little bit deeper down the field. So like Cohen, I actually think is fine and is a legit zero RB target for me.
Yeah, Boston Scott just went to Amico. It's always fun when you're drafting with one of your buddies who likes the same guys. But Boston Scott doesn't feel like he has too much more upside than Cohen, at least in my opinion. I get better offense for sure.
I mean, he was getting 5.5 targets a game while being the backup to Miles Sanders. So if he has standalone value similar to Cohen, but I think his, like Boston Scott's contingent value, if they don't sign Devonta Freeman or someone, is as high as Tony Pollard's, I think, probably.
So we're a pick away. We've got Cohen, Justin Jackson, Darrell Henderson, Darrington Evans, Chase Edmonds on the board there. I would think that my preference here would be to go with like Edmonds and Cohen, assuming one of them doesn't get sniped. The other options would be going at tight end with Gesicki, or going at wide receiver with like a Perriman, Robbie Anderson type.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we just double tap. I agree with you, Cohen. I actually do really like Darrell Henderson, but Edmonds has way better contingent value because I think Henderson is going to be in a split of some regards no matter what. So, yeah, let's go Edmonds.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a really tough one for me, Henderson specifically, just because, look, I mean, he was drafted in fantasy leagues really highly last year, expecting some type of role. Obviously didn't come together. Malcolm Brown played ahead of him. They added Akers. It wouldn't shock me if Akers played like passing snaps and Malcolm Brown still played, you know, 40% of the snaps as like the starting running back, and Henderson played like 20% or something like that. Like that type of mix wouldn't totally shock me, which is why I find myself like pretty hesitant to draft.
So, I mean, I like both of them, right? I like Akers because I actually kind of think you have to. Like, I think if you like one of them, you necessarily have to like the other one at their cost, I think, is sort of the way that ends up working out, because theoretically you're saying, one, this role exists, and one, I expect this offense to be a little bit better. Drafting our best ball championship team, to go back to Akers and Henderson there for a second, I guess kind of what I feel is, it's more likely than not that Akers just does win the job out and kind of plays that Todd Gurley role. But also, you know, we really haven't seen them play a two-back system. And I think that as long as it's a two-back system and not a three-back system with Malcolm Brown playing, I think both of them could out-earn their ADP. Because, like, I do think Sean McVay is kind of a donkey with the roster, but I do think he is a good play caller.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Malcolm Brown ends up starting at them for running back, but the upside is probably capped there. One of the things we have to try to figure out and sort through right now, our build has left us a couple different options. Right now, we've got Mahomes at quarterback. We've got 5 running backs, 5 wide receivers, and 1 tight end. We're obviously going to want to add at least 1 tight end, 1 quarterback before we exit the draft. Need to manage the bye weeks there, hopefully complete a snack. But then we need to decide if we're going to go with like a deeper wide receiver core or go with like a 2-7-7-2 type setup as we approach this turn. Rashad Perriman, Noah Fant, Robbie Anderson, Blake Jarwin are some of the guys that are kind of popping up in the projections. And then you still have Darrington Evans, Justin Jackson as far as...
Well, do we want to take Sammy Watkins, right? We probably do at this pick, right? We would like to... So we didn't get Mecole Hardman, but we would probably like to get...
He's off the board.
No way, man. The market's too sharp, bro. You know, so what do we even do? How can we even survive?
So I like Perriman a little bit with this pick as one of the guys. I don't know. There's just so many, you know, targets to go around there. And I guess it's just a question of whether or not you feel like they're going to be able to have a rookie wide receiver step in who's going to eat those, or if Perriman's going to be locked into like 80% of snaps.
Yeah, I mean, I like Perriman a bit. You know, my reservations are, you know, do I like him in the same way that some people like Crowder, where I'm just like, well, they got to throw the ball to somebody. And I mean, maybe that is true. Like Perriman is a guy that I just find myself being like, whatever, whenever I take him.
I think the other thing I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. A lot of the quarterbacks are going off the board. We want to complete that stack. And we had talked about the right time to draft James Washington. I feel like it's still too early to draft James Washington. I'd still probably rather take Perriman.
Well, if we're going to take James Washington and we like Isabella and Boykin later on in the draft too, we should take Darrington Evans here.
Okay. So I'm fine taking Darrington Evans. I don't have a particularly strong opinion on him. I think obviously you're hoping for an injury at that point, right? Just because it's unlikely that he plays a substantial role if that doesn't happen.
I mean, we are only a year removed from Deion Lewis having more touches and snaps straight up than Derrick Henry, and Evans is that sort of guy. He caught 21 passes his final year at Appalachian State. Like, I think it would not surprise me. Now, obviously, I don't think he will get more touches than Derrick Henry, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him have a little bit of standalone value and massive contingent value, because if Derrick Henry gets injured, if Derrick Henry has to take a COVID timeout, you know, we don't think that the Titans are going to become this big pass-heavy team or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, Evans, not a guy I was super familiar with, felt a little reachy, but I think one of the things when you're at the turn, especially,
you have to,
because you're not picking.
Well, so I think there are a couple different ways to approach the turn. One is you basically are like the auto drafter, where like guys who fall 10 spots too far, they just all end up on your team. Or the other way to go is I have this very specific roster construction in mind and very specific stacks in mind, and I would like to build those out that way. And I think that probably the first approach is going to be better in like the cash games on Underdog, you know, like the 12-man top three get paid. I think that the, you know, stack specific roster construction is better for the championship.
Yeah, I'm fine with that approach. You know, we're still, you know, about a full round away. We've got 6 running backs on the roster, 5 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 2 quarterbacks. Probably stick with 2 quarterbacks. We're definitely going to be adding a tight end at some point. It might be super late at this point, unless we're able to get Ebron, who's kind of one of the next 5 guys on our board, a guy probably we could have grabbed at the turn last round if we wanted to try to play the ADP waiting game with Evans. But if not Ebron, I think we're probably going to be waiting pretty late on tight end. And I think we need to decide whether or not 7th running back, or we're just going to try to load up on more wide receivers.
No, I think with Carson and Dobbins and Mostert, I think 6s should be our max. And we got two contingent value guys we like in Chase Edmonds and Darrington Evans, and then 1 contingent/standalone guy in Tariq Cohen that we like a little bit as well. So I think our plan at this next turn should be Ebron and, you know, our favorite wide receiver value, if in fact Ebron is there. Do you like Herb Smith Jr.? He's a guy that I've found myself drafting more and more.
I think that's an okay play. I mean, you do expect the Vikings to lean heavily on the 2 tight end offense, running the game, play action, that type of stuff. So I think he's okay from that perspective. A guy I would expect to do better than last year, but he's still going to be competing with like Rudolph, and Rudolph should regress, Irv should move up. But I guess between the two of them, I would still prefer to draft OJ Howard, because it wouldn't surprise me at all if Howard has a decent year, if both him and Gronk are involved. And, you know, Gronk can be used as a really strong blocker, and the Patriots obviously were successful with 2 tight end offenses, something that Brady's used to. So I feel like Howard is a pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I like Howard. I prefer to take Howard when I have Brady, because then I'm just telling myself the story that there are all these successful guys in Tampa Bay, right? That there's just so much success that the cup runneth over all the way down to OJ Howard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty dicey right here as we're coming up a few picks away. Corey Davis, Tyrell Williams are some of the best wide receivers left. James Washington is a guy I think we've made up our decision. We're going to try to take him, complete that stack with Big Ben. And then we would be able to decide between like Howard and Irv Smith just going off the board as well. So I guess for me right here, my gut would say to pick James Washington and then either to take Howard or to go with another wide receiver. Just don't love.
What's so yeah, I think Washington we take. And then what is the tight end board look like?
The tight end board is Sternberger, OJ Howard, Washington with this pick.
And then it's like Gerald Everett, Dawson Knox,
Howard, Rudolph, Sternberger, Cole Kmet, Dawson Knox, Gerald Everett. Yeah. So I'd like to take Howard here.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I think Howard is. I have no objection. So we have our Mahomes mega stack with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. We have the cheap Steelers stack where we are essentially fading Smith-Schuster and Ebron, actually, because, you know, if Ebron doesn't develop into a red zone role or gets injured or something, I actually think that's pretty big for James Washington. I kind of feel like Johnson has his role, Smith-Schuster has his role, and I kind of feel like Washington and Ebron are competing for, you know, like third in the passing game hierarchy there.
Yeah, we're obviously banking on Big Ben being able to stay healthy, you know, being able to chuck the ball at the same level that he was before and keep firing. So I think that's the other thing there. But Big Ben doesn't really matter for this team specifically just because Mahomes is going to carry the quarterback load. So you really
could. Yeah. So we are now probably hoping to close the draft with, you know, sleeper guys for me, Andy Isabella, Miles Boykin are two of the big ones that I really like. Laviska Shenault, he probably is off the board by now, but maybe not. It very much depends on the draft for Shenault.
Yeah. So if this was like solely my draft, one thing I often do if it's this late is I would add someone like Rashad Penny, who basically is costing nothing at this point and provides some like back end Seahawks stability if something were to happen to Carson. And I actually do think that stacking or handcuffing is viable, especially given the injury risk and COVID risk this year. That would be one thing I would consider, but I'd like some of the sleepers you mentioned. I definitely like Boykin as an upside guy that can put up some big weeks. I like Steven Sims for some of the same reasons in Washington. Yeah, I think if it was me, I would probably go Penny Boykin, assuming they're still on the board. But I'm still open to add roster that way.
I mean, I prefer Carlos Hyde to Rashad Penny for Chris Carson contingent value because, one, I actually think it's possible that with how much Seattle runs the ball, they both might have like top 30 running back seasons, which is disgusting, but is something that could happen. And if Carson were to get injured, I think that Penny might still play that satellite back role, assuming that his knee is okay. And then Hyde just takes the Carson role straight up.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Some of the other, I guess, guys you consider at this point in the draft at the running back position would be someone like Anthony McFarland, who you'd be kind of banking on something happening to Connor, you know, hoping that maybe Snell doesn't take too big of a role. And then some of the other wide receivers, I think, have upside if they happen to fall into the right situation. Josh Reynolds is one of those. We know that the Rams defense or offense will look a little bit different at wide receiver with Cooks gone this year. We don't know for sure if that means that Reynolds will have a pretty big role or if Kupp will play more on the outside and they'll use two tight ends. But I feel like Reynolds could end up as like a pretty viable wide receiver three if things break the right way. And then Boykin, Sims, Isabella, unfortunately, is off.
I prefer to just pound the wide receivers probably at this point. But yeah, I don't have a super strong preference. I actually like Josh Reynolds quite a bit.
So I think our plan A, you know, we're three picks away. Our plan A is gonna hopefully we'll be able to take Reynolds and Boykin. If we get sniped, hopefully it's not a both.
Yeah, I mean getting sniped in these is the stone cold worst. It just getting sniped in the later rounds because you're like, why do you like the same guys? Everyone likes different late round guys. Why do you like my late round guys?
Yeah, the late round snipe is only worse. The only thing worse is the stack snipe when you're like jazzed up to complete your stack with a quarterback.
Or like the double stack, right? Where like, oh, I have Smith-Schuster and Dante Johnson and someone else takes Roethlisberger. Then you're just like, what are we even doing here? What's it all for?
So Sanu and Sims just went off the board. So I feel pretty good as far as late round wide receiver targets, going with Josh Reynolds as one of them. And then going with Miles Boykin.
Chalk that one up. Miles Boykin is a really, really strong late round pick, I think.
So that's it. 18 rounds in the books. We've got a formation 2-6-8-2 as far as two quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger. We've got six running backs, Chris Carson, Raheem Mostert, J.K. Dobbins, Tariq Cohen, and then sleepers in Chase Edmonds and Darrington Evans. The wide receiver position, pretty robust there as far as depth. Tyreek Hill, Christian Kirk, Deontay Johnson, Sterling Shepard, Anthony Miller, James Washington, Josh Reynolds, and Miles Boykin. And then at the tight end position, it's Kelce and OJ Howard for us. So I feel like this team's got some decent upside, maybe a pretty low floor, but it's definitely a fun team to draft, especially with the ability to to double stack Mahomes?
I mean, if you're drafting for floor in something where all of the value is basically in getting, I mean, like not even top 10, like top 5, you're getting some serious return on you're getting a good hourly. So, yeah, I mean, I think that thinking about floor, I think that thinking about safety, I think that thinking about like, you know, fragility in these is mostly a misguided exercise. I think that the whole exercise should be, how can I end up scoring the most points in the regular season and then weeks 13 through 16? Drafted our underdog fantasy best ball championship team. We're hopefully going to be doing this every weekend with you guys. So Colin, we just did a live draft on air where we had to think and talk about all of our picks out loud. You know, one of the things I think that I have noticed is, because there are so many people drafting in this who are using the same resources, using similar projections, guys like Mecole Hardman, guys like Christian Kirk, the trendy sort of sleeper upside guys, they're going to go even earlier in this than you think they should go.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, we reached on maybe a couple picks, but we sort of had to because we were at the turn. Obviously, if you guys want to draft off the same projections that we're using over at sportsgrid.com, we've got fantasy football rankings and projections all free, so there's no paywall there. You can draft off the same projections that we use to put together this roster. Yeah, other than reaching on a couple picks, I felt like things came together pretty well for us. We didn't overlap bye weeks with any of the quarterbacks or tight end positions, which was really good. We've kind of got upside picks that could break into big roles, as well as some safe production at the running back position. And then we're loaded up with a lot of upside depth at the wide receiver position. We managed to complete two stacks, which is another thing that is one of the foundations of how we like to approach best ball, especially for this underdog fantasy best ball tournament. So I wouldn't give this draft an A, but I think it's like a solid B+.
Yeah, I think we probably should have taken Eric Ebron instead of Darrington Evans and then just accepted, you know, Anthony McFarland, Josh Kelly, Jerick McKinnon, someone like that as our final running back. I think that I tend to do that with Darrington Evans, where I just get like, because he is like, he is one of those guys that I find to be one, you know, just one of the best overall sleepers in fantasy football. And I think that there is obviously a ton of value. And for those of you who are new to best ball, just if you're taking anything away from this podcast, definitely make sure that you are creating stacks, right? So that you are matching your quarterback up with wide receivers, tight ends, and even running backs. You know, yep. Obviously running backs in the NFL, they catch passes too and are going to be part of those big explosion weeks on offense. So yeah, I feel pretty good about this draft. I think that we did a fairly solid job. A few things that I maybe would have done differently. But everyone, thank you very much for listening and watching to the Daily Roto Hour on Sports Grid TV, the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. This has been Davis Maddock and Colin Drew. If you guys like the show, of course, give us some feedback, and we will be back soon drafting more of these teams, getting more into strategy, player values, and how ADP shifts week over week. And we will see you guys soon.